Thought for today. I am my ideal mind. I am my ideal body. I am my ideal spirit. We've been saying I express my eternal, my original purity and integrity. I express my original purity and integrity, which is a good statement because this is what it means for healing. To express our original purity and integrity. And then, as I was walking around the path this morning, I was thinking, those are good things, to express my original purity and integrity, but what does it mean? Does it mean I am my ideal mind? I am my ideal body? I am my ideal spirit? And then the thought of Saint Germain came up, and I was thinking, now, Saint Germain appears to have clothing on when he is around people because that makes them comfortable. And yet, he doesn't. And his clothing is usually a robe of some sort. And yet, if you saw with his eyes, you wouldn't see a robe. You'd see nothing. But you look with the eyes of anyone else, and they see on him what they want to see on him. So whatever they think he wears, then he wears it. That is the illusion that they have of him. So that's his clothing. Now, we didn't even mention that. But what about his mind? What kind of mind does Saint Germain have? What kind of mind does an ideal being have? Does an ideal being have a mind that is unlimited? Is it a mind that is, I know that I know that I know, and it knows all things and is able to do all things and express all things? Is it a mind that is open and receptive and harmonious with itself and with everything that it thinks about and everything that it does? Is that what it is? What is the ideal mind? Well, in a few moments, we'll talk about that. Now, my ideal body. What is my ideal body? My ideal body is, you would think, perhaps, a body that feels no heat nor cold. How about that? A body that has no thirst. See, all these things are no's, you know. Mm-hmm. And a body that neither grows big nor small. Doesn't grow tall, was never a child, the body that always existed in its perfect archetypal form and is seen by whomever sees it, or whoever sees it, as whatever they think it is. Now, for instance, if someone were to say, well, Herb, when were you born? And I say, well, I was born in 1977, you know. Well, that's not realistic. All right, then I was born in 1937. Well, really, I was born in 1927. Well, closer. I was born in 1907. Oh, okay. I was born in 1777. Is that why you lived at 1777 North 83rd Street for 27 years? Maybe. Or was I born in 1007? Or was I born in B.C., in the time of Socrates, Plato, Aristotle? When was I born? When did I live? When did you live? And what appearance are you putting on right now with your body? If we say we're ideal, we're immortal, we live forever, we do. We do. And we have exactly the same body, the underlying archetypal ideal body. It's always there. And we merely outpicture whatever we think our world wants us to outpicture of our body. And that's interesting. If we think that the world wants us to outpicture of our body, that we are whole and perfect and beautiful and fantastic, then that's what we are. Now, you look at young Josh. And his father says, Yes, he was a Marine and he did this and he's a tough guy and he doesn't mind people who are naked, but he doesn't want anyone ever to lie to him or to put him on, you know what I mean? And that is real tough about. And you look at him and he's a pussycat, you know. He probably has a very definite principles and very definite attitudes about life. And he's undoubtedly very intelligent. And he undoubtedly outpictures whatever people want him to outpicture. Now, when I heard that he was there and I was introduced to him, I expected him to be a young man of quality and of ideals and of all sorts of good things. And that's exactly what he was. Now, other people may think of him differently. They may see him differently because they create him differently. So, how would you create a Saint Germain in your life? Would you create a Saint Germain in your life to be ageless? Isn't that a nice word? Ageless? Would you create a Saint Germain in your life to be with a body that was absolutely perfect by any standards we have for perfection? You know what I mean? Whatever standards we have. The standards change from time to time, too. Now, during the Twiggy reign, people thought you had to be real skinny. But can we visualize or even contemplate the possibility of a Saint Germain living in an ideal body? Does he have a beard or doesn't have a beard? Does he have long hair or short hair? Does he have blue eyes or purple eyes or whatever, you know? Does he have white skin, or is he tanned by the sun, or is he Mediterranean tan, or is he an African tan? You know, whatever the case may be, any one of them is quite good, quite excellent. But or is he from up in the Scandinavian countries and wearing clothes all the time and not getting much sun? You can see why the Scandinavian people like to jump out of their clothes every time they can. They like to get into the sun and get a second of it, you know. Because up there around not the North Pole, but the Aurora Borealis, the upper levels there, they don't get that much sun. And the sun does not tan as much. So they vacation in the Canary Islands and they tan quickly and come home. Oh, you've been on vacation. That'll last for about 3 or 4 weeks and it'll fade away. But that's part of the game of life. I am my ideal mind. I am my ideal body. Now, I am my ideal spirit. Let's look at that one once. What does it mean to be our ideal spirit? Is our ideal spirit a happy spirit? Is it a spirit that is a playful spirit? Is it enjoying this life? Is it doing all the things it wants to do and making a never mind to anybody? Just doing whatever it pleases it to do, and it's having fun. Is that what it's doing? Well, yes, it is. Now, before I mentioned that the word ideal mind, ideal body, ideal spirit might be something to think about. Okay? And it is. Think of your archetypal body. Now, we wrote in the initial book on Absolute about dimensions of reality. And our friend Walter Starkey writes us and he says, you know, you've explained what nobody else can explain. And that's not necessarily a compliment, but that could only be said by a perceptive person because he understood what was said. Now, why didn't you each write me that same note about that or anything else? And do it. But why didn't you write me a note saying that I explained what couldn't be explained? That says more about where you are in consciousness than anything else. Well, I understood what you said by that. I understood what you said by this here. And I understood, you did? What did I say, you know? And then, you know. But when you say a phrase like he used, you know, then that's quite different. So, what is our ideal mind, body, and spirit? What is it? Ingeborg, in 3 million words or less, tell me, what is our ideal mind, body, and spirit? 3 million words or less, Ingeborg. Ingeborg, in 3 million words or less, tell me what our ideal is. We cannot describe it. There are no words that will come up for us to describe it. We might try. We might try, and perhaps I really should let you try. But did you want to try? Do you think you have some marvelous definition for what the ideal mind, body, and spirit may be?
Trying is good.
I'm sorry?
Trying is would be good.
Trying what?
Trying it out to define it.
Trying to define it?
Yeah.
Did you want to?
Why not?
Go ahead. Do it. You want to do it later or now?
The ideal mind is very, very flexible, but it's also very, very, very one-pointed, very straightened. That's exactly what it wants.
All right.
And the ideal body responds to what's more or less to what the mind says. Body and mind is one. And the ideal spirit, the spirit is overall.
Yeah. And
it governs everything.
And how would you define an ideal spirit?
Ideal spirit is invisible and is like a umbrella over all. It is there.
Interesting.
And gives life to what this body and mind prepare or do.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Good start. Ellen, Sylvia, did you have anything you want to say about that? The ideal mind, the ideal body, the ideal spirit, how you might describe it or define it?
Well, I would say ideals, when I have an ideal spirit, my mind and body are one, then there is no separation anymore.
Never was.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. So my ideal spirit is my being.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Being.
Really easy to describe.
Period.
What?
Period.
Uh-huh. Sylvia, what would you wrestle around with that?
Well, ideal mind, body, and spirit is really one thing. There's only oneness. And I would probably say if I had to define it, it's what I envision God to be. Perfect mind, you know, the all-knowing mind, which is one as all knowledge, and the body, which is transcendent to the allness, which is everywhere present, regardless of how it are pictures. And the ideal spirit is again the oneness of being God, and that limitless aspect in me, and that eternal aspect in me is the ideal spirit. And to express an ideal spirit, I always think of, you know, something that is eternally joyful and in its happy, laughing place, and like Richard Bassett, don't limit the is, you know, it's kind of mm-hmm. in that realm, it's that total unlimitedness, mm-hmm. which I am. But it's always one.
Now, each of you have attempted to describe this. Now, do any of you honestly feel that you described it even in one little tiny bit of what it is?
No.
So, what you're saying then is that with all your words and all your pretty platitudes and all your generalities, which are not bad, you know, but they don't get there. They don't get there. Now, we go back to the little boy or girl, whichever you prefer, the little child who says 2 times 2 is 4 and then later comes to realize that 2 times 2 is 4. But they say 2 times 2 is 4 because that is learning the principle. Well, here you say, I am my ideal mind, I am my ideal body, I am my ideal spirit. Now, you and I and the world have no idea what the ideal mind, body, or spirit is. We have no idea what each one of these are. We are way out in left field if we ever think that the mind is one as the infinite and is a revelation, because that's not what mind does. It's like saying mind can be compartmentalized. It's like saying mind can be divided up. Well, either you're all and you're one or you're not. And mind is either all or one or it's not. And we try to define what that all or one or not is, and we run up a wall, into a wall. And the same with our ideal body. We look at our body, and we look at Mr. America and Miss America, and we think, you know, they're strong and healthy and dynamic, and they're not really good-looking people, but they're nice-looking people. You look at All Creatures Great and Small, James Herriot, who the young man who plays James Herriot in there. Now, he had a simple, normal body. He did not have any muscles. He did not have any tan. He did not have any, he had a little blubber, you know, not much, but just a little baby fat on him. That's a good word for it. Just a little baby fat on him. And he looked, but Tristan probably was the same way. Both of them were just young kids. They're supposed to be in their 20s and 30s, you know. 20s perhaps, because they just graduated. But they're young, and their body is forming, and yet it's formed. And their muscles are not defined, and yet they're there. They can do anything. They can drive a car, they can walk, they can lift, they can run, they can do everything. And they don't have too big a derriere for sitting on. They just have a normal backside. They are normal height. They're not tall or short or anything. They have pleasant faces, which are, if you were to see them in a crowd, you wouldn't be attracted to them, you know? Because as you saw the crowd scenes there, where he was in the crowd, you had to look carefully to see whether it was him or not, because he had a generic face.
Mm-hmm.
And he sort of lost. So, what is the ideal body, you know? And is it a generic body, one that is universal in appearance, or is it a unique body, like a movie star, you know, where you have a very handsome face or a beautiful face, and so forth? Now, we don't know, and we really don't care. Would you rather be, not rather be, who would you rather be? James Herriot or a Churchill, you know? At Churchill, you think like a roly-poly man, you know, an older fella. But when Churchill was James Herriot's age, he was much like James Herriot. He was British. He tried to get his clothes off to get a suntan whenever he could, and they used to pick on him for that. But he had a normal body, and he had nothing special, no muscles of any kind, except between his head, you know, between his ears. Because he was a journalist and a bunch of other things, but you can't tell. You can't tell. And what did James Herriot grow into as an adult man, as an older man? Did he stay thin and trim and baby fattish? Or did he fill out a little bit and was he grandfatherly, you know? And I doubt that some pictures I have seen of him, I doubt that he would be considered a skinny man, you know, a thin
man.
He just was a normally well-built man, not well-built, that's the wrong word too. But you see, their words, they're all gone. They're all gone for us to use. Every time we use one, we have a limitation. And now, what is our ideal spirit? I say forget it. It's the invisible part of us that nobody knows what it is, and it's our allness and our isness and all that sort of stuff. So if you say, I am my ideal mind, I am my ideal body, I am my ideal spirit, and just say like 2 times 2 is 4, 2 times 2 is 4, then you allow it to happen. Because when I was walking the path and I was saying all of my other good statements, and then this popped out of my mind, and I started saying this. When I started saying this, I felt a relief. I don't have to work on something. I just be it. And then as I walked along, I felt a coziness, you know, like I was wrapped up in the ideal mind, body, and spirit. And I just felt good. And it wasn't the pressure. It wasn't the feeling of something that you had to do or something you had to be. It was a very good feeling. And so, if it's a statement that's comfortable for you guys, enjoy it. But remember, in itself, it has no definition. No definition. Of itself, it is the allness. And it's a good statement because it's like mathematics. We don't know how it works, what it does, but just say that it works. According to your thought, it's done unto you. And these are kind of nice thoughts. So enjoy them. I am my ideal mind. I am my ideal body. I am my ideal spirit. That's our thought for today. And I think it's a very, very good thought. How about you? Mm-hmm.